337, Once for All, and I invite you to stand together with me, please. 337.
Now let's stand together as we sing 337, Once for All, Brother Believe It.
Free from the long, happy condition, Jesus hath led and there is creation. Thank you.
on the third verse, children of God, O glorious calling. Sing it together.
Children of God, O glorious calling. Surely His grace will keep us from falling. Passing from death to life at His call. Let us
ushers come at this time as we take up this morning's offering. Pastor McDonald, you come.
Good morning once again, everyone. I just wanted to announce just before we take the offering that we're one birthday this week, and that is Janet Caldwell on Friday. You know, if there's anybody else, you let me know, and I'll announce it tonight. Also, anniversaries tomorrow. I've got it written down here. Bill and Donna Foreman are celebrating an anniversary tomorrow, so be able to congratulate them. And then we didn't announce this last week, but we had two brothers. We had Colby and Nicholas Post had their birthdays. I mentioned on Wednesday night they had it this past week. So some people to congratulate on these milestones. Brother Jimmy Roberts, if you'd pray for this morning's offering.
This morning, please turn to Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8. You may have noticed in your bulletin that our schedule has changed this week a little bit.
Brother Greenwood, that was scheduled to be here next Sunday night, made a scheduling mistake. That's easy to do. Pastors will call you back when you're in the Walmart or you're driving and you're trying to scramble for a piece of paper to write some notes down. And so he double booked for next Sunday night. So he's going to come on this Wednesday night instead. All right. So this entire week's going to be a great missions week. You'll want to be here for that. And so Wednesday night, the Greenwood family to Peru is going to be with us. Next Sunday morning, the Dobb family, they're going to be with us. They're here this morning, but they're going to be with us in preaching and singing. And we're looking forward to that next Sunday morning. Then next Sunday night is West Coast Baptist College will be here. Pastor Dr. Rasmussen will be preaching and the young men will be singing, or it's a mixed trio, the Harvest Trio. They'll be singing and we're looking forward to a great week of missions. And so you'll want to be here for all of that and come every service and be blessed and encourage our missionaries as well. I know it'll be an encouragement to them to see many faces here supporting them and letting them know that you'll be praying for them. Also, thank you for your prayers for my wife. Of course, she's had a rough week. On Monday, she went into the hospital with a gallbladder attack, and they wanted to operate right away. It was so severe, but they couldn't because it was too inflamed. And so they put her on intravenous. She stayed in the hospital till Wednesday, was able to be home for Thursday, but had to go back in Friday for surgery. And then the doctor said it was a difficult surgery, and so he kept her longer than normal. And so she came home yesterday afternoon and not feeling real good this morning. So be in prayer for her. She's quite uncomfortable. And I'm sure in a day or two she'll be feeling a lot better. But thank you for your prayers. Continue to pray for her. I know she'd appreciate that. She's watching at home right now. So you can let her know if you walk by the camera or something, just wave and say hi, Ida. All right. So, all right. Ezra chapter 8. Begin reading with me, if you will, in verse 15. Ezra chapter 8 and verse 15. And I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava, and there abode we in tents 3 days. And I viewed the people and the priests, and found there none of the sons of Levi. Then sent I for Eleazar, for Ariel, for Shemaiah, and for Elnathan, and for Jerob, and for Elnathan, and for Nathan, and for Zechariah, and for Meshullam, chief men, also for Joarib, and for Elnathan, men of understanding. You'll see in this class, they have 3 Elnathans, not a common name, but 3 in one group. And verse 17, I sent them with commandments unto Edo, the chief at the place, Casiphia. And I told them what they should say unto Edo, and to his brethren, the Nethinims, at the place, Casiphia, that they should bring unto us ministers for the house of our God. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding, the sons of Mali, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, and Sherebiah, with his sons and his brethren, 18. And Hashabiah with him, Jeshiah of the sons of Merari, his brethren and their sons, 20. Also of the Nethinims, whom David and the princes had appointed for the service of the Levites, 220 Nethinims, all of them were expressed by name. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for the word of God. We ask that you'd help us now as we consider what Ezra was facing in his day. And as we apply it to our nation today of Canada, we pray that you'd help us to find some principles here that would help us as God's people to be that remnant that we ought to be the salt and light of the earth that we really are supposed to be testifying of. I pray that you'd help me. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Help me to preach what you'd have me to preach. And Father, we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. The prophet Ezra is giving account here of a little band of refugees that are really left over. They've been 70 years in captivity in Babylon. The city has been destroyed. The temple has been destroyed under the armies of King Nebuchadnezzar. And for 70 years, the city has been desolate. Hundreds of thousands have been carried away over 1,000 miles to serve strangers in a foreign land. Of those thousands, only 1,600 have returned with a desire in their heart to rebuild their homes and rebuild their temple and their city. What a contrast of this band to when Israel was in her glory. Israel, at the height of Israel's glory, word had spread to Ethiopia, and the Queen of Sheba wrote back to Solomon and talked about all the magnificence of the temple worship and the wonderful laws of Israel and her prosperity and how the hand of God was upon her. But when she finally made the trip to Israel, she said this, "The half has not been told me." Israel was a glorious place, but now it had been decimated. Why did Ezra call for a fast? And for the people to humble themselves for God and to seek His face. Because Israel realized that her plight now was the result of their sin and their disobedience to God. The result of their pride and their feelings of self-sufficiency. When God had blessed and prospered them, when they had become rich and powerful, their fame had spread throughout the world and they forgot that they owed it all to God. Can I direct you back to 2 Chronicles just for a moment? 2 Chronicles chapter 6. I was reading this passage today and Solomon is praying in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and God rains down fire from heaven upon the altar that was built. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, God begins to speak and we have that famous verse, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land." The song that we heard on the video this morning was based upon that scripture verse. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 24, we're in the middle of Solomon's prayer. And he says, "And if thy people Israel be put to the worst before the enemy," look what it says, "because they have sinned against thee and shall return and confess thy name and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens and forgive the sin of thy people Israel." Look at the next phrase. "And bring them again unto the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers." Solomon knew and prophesied that if Israel sinned against God, they would be put out of the land. And if they would pray and seek God's forgiveness, God would bring them again into the land. This should have been something that the people of Israel took heed to. But of course, they sinned over and over again, being flesh, and we all have a sin nature. We can understand how they so easily fell. And now Ezra is coming to one of these times where they are coming back into the land and seeking to rebuild their temple. It is utmost importance that we as a nation learn from this passage. You know, so many times we'll say, "But for the grace of God, go I." And that expression is meant to say that that has happened to somebody else and I'm thankful it hasn't happened to me. Pastor Rutherford and I were talking this week and he was asking how my wife was and his wife's going through some similar issues with the gallbladder. And so you can be in prayer for Mrs. Rutherford. And we were talking about that and he said this to me. He says, "After seeing the pain that this thing causes," he says, "I hope I never have to face it." Can I say that we can apply that to a similar thought today? After seeing the destruction, the decimation, the desolation, and the pain that sin caused Israel, may we as a nation, Canada, understand that we must never go down that path. But friends, can I suggest to you we're already halfway down that path? And we're walking merrily along. My son went the other night with Austin Judge, the boys, and Cindy, and they went to a baseball game in Toronto. And he shot a message back to me on his phone. He said, "Dad," he says, "it's gay pride in Toronto." And he says, "Everywhere you look." Apparently, I think it's today, apparently in Toronto today, over 2,000 homosexual couples will unite. I don't like to call it marriage, but they'll be united in some sort of public ceremony. I don't think it's a coincidence that they would decimate the Lord's Day to do that. But our nation is quickly going down the wrong path. And it is my heart and my plea to Canada today and to the leaders of our country to get back to what they knew, what our country was founded on. You know, even just 30 years ago, our Prime Minister, Prime Minister Trudeau, who has all kinds of warts and wrinkles, and we understand that he was considered an international playboy and he had all kinds of wives and women in his life, and we understand what kind of man he was, but he's the one that signed the Bill of Rights and Charter of Rights and Freedoms in Canada that said that Canada was founded upon the order of law and the supremacy of God. Even a man like that understood that we must at least honor God in our country. But today they want to take God out of everything. In 1980, I went to school in 1977, and we used to sing, "O Canada." And when we got to the part where "God keep our land glorious and free," that was never part of the song. It was, O Canada, O Canada, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. In 1980, they added the words, God keep our land glorious and free. Even in the modern day of just 35 years ago, our leaders understood how important it was to recognize the sovereignty and supremacy of God. Friends, we need to get back to the Word of God. And Ezra understood that these people, these 1,600 refugees, as they gathered at the River Ahava, there's some things that they needed to instill in their generation if they were to exceed. They were to seek the right way. I want you to notice some of these things today. And look at verse 15. First of all, it's the need for leadership. The need for leadership. Listen, before we even get to the scripture and before we open with this point this morning, I want to put this responsibility squarely upon the shoulders of our men. Men, I want you to listen up. We need some men that'll lead. Ladies, help me. Amen. How many of you ladies would be thankful if some men took some leadership? Amen. If you weren't forced to make difficult decisions because you had a man that was willing to stand up and be a man, we need some men in our church. Men, we need some leaders. Young men, be men. We need some leaders in the next generation. We need some men that are going to stand for right in our country. And by the way, they need to be Christian men and godly men and men of the word that will take the stand for right. Look what it says in Ezra chapter 8 and verse 15. And I gathered them together, the river that runneth to Ahava, and their abode we in tents 3 days. And I viewed the people and the priests. And look what he says. What a sad thing. And found there none of the sons of Levi. Levi was the priestly tribe. These were the men that were supposed to minister unto God's people. These were the men that were supposed to stand up and be the leadership in the camp. And nobody came to help rebuild the temple. So verse 16, then sent I for Eleazar, for Ariel, for Shemaiah, for Elnathan, and for Jerah. But how many of you glad that I have to read these names, not you? And for Elnathan, and for Nathan, and for Zechariah, and for Meshulam, chief men, and also for Joarab, and for Elnathan, men of understanding. And I sent them with commandment unto Edo, the chief of the place Casiphia. And I told them what they should say unto Edo and to his brethren, the Nethinims of the place Casiphia, and they should bring unto us ministers for the house of our God. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding of the sons of Mali, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, and Sherebiah with his sons and his brethren, and 18 in total. God sent them some leadership. God sent them some man. By the way, I want you to notice it wasn't the high priest. It wasn't the one that would go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. It wasn't the one that would be in the holy place and offering sacrifices on a daily basis. It wasn't the head priest. There were just good men of the tribe of Levi who stood up and said, we'll be leaders and we'll answer the call. Friend, I want to put it squarely on the shoulder of our men today. We need men. We need leaders. We need men that will stand up and say, we will serve the Lord. I want you to notice the note of disappointment. Ezra looked over the people and found no one. Nobody who was called. Nobody who would take the reign of leadership. The religious leaders whom should have been able to count on were absent. Can I encourage you today to be somebody you can be counted on? The scripture says this, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast, men. Be men that can be counted on. I'm so thankful that I have some men that I can call and say, hey, listen, this needs to be done, or we need prayer for this, and I know right away it's taken care of. But we need more. We need the next generation. I encourage you young people, you teens this morning, be that man. Say, I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be dependable. I'm going to be at every service. I'm going to go soul winning. I'm going to take a stand for what is right. I'm not going to back down because my peers think it's foolish. Stand for right. We need leadership. The load of ministry is too great a burden for any one man. There was a great need for all of the people to stand up like Joab of old and say, let us play the men for our people. Moses had Aaron and Hur. Moses had Joshua. Do you know what the most telling tale of Israel in regards to Goliath was? It was not the faith of a boy named David. It was the lack of faith of thousands of the men in God's army. Think about that. Thousands of men upon a hillside, and it took a little boy to defeat the giant. Where was their faith? Why were they not fighting each other and saying, I get to go. I'll be the man. And God is still looking for a man to stand in the gap. There was a need for leadership. But this leadership must seek his way. Look at verse 21. Ezra is speaking. He says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him what? A right way for us. Listen, can I encourage you to settle some things in your heart this morning? If God is God, obey him. When we disobey God, we are saying, God, you're not God in my life. There are other things that are more important. There's other things that I will bow down to. But if you believe that God is God, obey him and follow him. When I was in junior high, in one of our art classes, we were making T-shirts one day. And with the silk screening method. And we were all supposed to do a design and just lay it on a shirt. And the teacher come by and help us screen that thing and taught us how to do that. And I remember one of the girls in our class who was a Christian, she had a shirt that said, try Jesus. Try Jesus. And I thought for a while, you know, somebody might misinterpret that. People try a lot of things today like they're a fad. People try illicit and immoral things that are not good for them and not right. We're not to try Jesus. The Bible says we are to taste and see that the Lord is good. The word taste means to take in and to devour with our whole lives. Not just try it, not just see if it fits. We are to taste him. Too many cannot seek his way, for they're too busy trying to determine if he is God or not. Get it settled. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Determine it quickly, for you're wasting time. Trust the Lord today. When you find that he is the way, the truth, and the life, you'll be compelled and constrained to follow only him. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 13, the Bible says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, that they that tempt God are even delivered. But look what it says in verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and serveth him not. In Malachi chapter 3, we see the difference between a religion and a relationship. There are those that say, we have served God and we have kept his ordinances and we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. They have fasted and prayed and put on a mournful face. And they said, what has it profited us? You see, they were keeping the religion. They were keeping the ordinances. But there were those that feared God, that loved him and sought to worship him. And the God hearkened unto them and heard them. And he wrote a book of remembrance and he put their names in that book. And they feared the Lord because they thought upon his name. That's what we need today, are those that are seeking the face of God. You want to know the will of God? Seek the face of God. Do you want to know what's right for your life? Seek after him. We must seek his way. Once you've determined who God is, then you will know this for sure. His way is best. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We're to trust the Lord with all our hearts. We're to lean not into our own understanding. Ezra wisely advised the people to seek his way. I'm discouraged today because even if it was only 30 years ago, we find today that they don't consult the Lord God anymore in our country. As a matter of fact, it's considered a crime, a hate crime, to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Prayer has been taken out of our schools. The Ten Commandments has come down out of our courthouses. I'm sure it won't be long before a petition is made to scratch those names off the parliament buildings in those scripture verses that have been so described there some 200 years ago. What are we as a nation to do? We're to keep praying. The Bible says we must seek his way, but I want you to notice in verse 21 also, we must seek the future. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, and we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us. Look at the next phrase. And for our little ones. He was concerned about the future. I'm concerned about our future. We need to be concerned about the spiritual welfare of our country going forward. Just about a month ago, Pastor Stone was able to meet Prime Minister Harper, Stephen Harper. And I guess it's been over a course of a couple of years, the member of parliament down in St. Thomas area, Pastor Stone was able to lead him to the Lord, and now he's a member at Bible Baptist Church. And through that, he was able to talk to him, and Mr. Harper was coming to London to do a show on the radio, and the member of parliament asked, would you like to meet my pastor? My pastor would really like to meet you. And so he did, and for 20 minutes, he was able to talk to him about the Lord and confirm that he really trusted in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I'm thankful to have that firsthand knowledge. I'm thankful to hear that somebody that I know was able to talk to him and share the gospel. And Mr. Harper, do you know you're saved? He said, absolutely. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I know Jesus as my Savior. That's a man we need to hold up in prayer. And by the way, he's flesh. He's human like you and I, and he makes mistakes. And there are things that we have seen. I follow Mr. Harper on Twitter, and I saw a picture of him drinking a beer. And I thought, I got to be honest with you, I don't care where some church, I don't know what church he's from or denomination he's from. I don't care if you believe in social drinking. That's a poor example to our young people as the Prime Minister of our country. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to have errors in judgment. He's going to sin. He's flesh and blood, but as a born-again believer, we are to hold up our Prime Minister, whether he's saved or not, and hold him up before the Lord. That will affect our children and our future, the policies that he's making today. Often we'll hear somebody say that they want their children to have an easier time than that they had. That's a mistake. What we should pray is for God's will for their lives. Ezra was looking for God's will and God's way to seek the right way for us and for our little ones. So often we just spend so much time putting away money to pay for college and putting away money so our children have an easier time. And we want them trained so they can be doctors and lawyers and such. Friend, the best thing you can instill in your children is the Word of God. Years ago, Pastor Holland was talking about he was homeschooling his children, and they were just a year or two ahead of ours. And so we were talking to him about that, and he had actually worked for Becca Book while he was in college. And so he had quite an insight into the homeschooling curriculum. So we were talking to him, and we said, well, is it a good curriculum? Is it give them a good education? He says, oh, absolutely. And he shared all about that. And he says, but this is what I've come to conclude. He says, if at the end of their first school year, they can read their Bibles and love the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, my wife's doing fantastic. Teaching them the things of God. That ought to be our emphasis in all that we do. Is seeking the right way for our little ones. You know, there was a missionary to South America years ago. He went to the mission field. He was excited about the ministry God had given him. And as he was there and began to plant churches and preach the gospel to people, he wrote home in his very first prayer missionary letter, and he said this: praise the Lord, the first convert on the foreign field was my very own son. What a thrill to know that God sent you all the way to South America just so you can lead your son to the Lord. God blesses the family who gives their lives to him. Let me encourage you on this Canada Day weekend that we must understand that we must seek the Lord's will for our children. I'm not sure what kind of country they'll have in 30 years. God's people must continue to humble themselves and seek his face and pray and trust that God will heal our land. But we don't know what tomorrow holds. And we need leaders and young people that will stand for God. John wrote in his epistle this: I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What a joy to know when your children are living for the Lord. Then I want you to see the third thing in Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21. We as a country need to seek the right way for our substance. He says that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us, for our little ones, and for all of our substance. If there is a God, and I'm not asking that as a question, I'm saying that today as a sub. I believe with all my heart there's a God. But if there is a God, then his way is right for everything. We must consult him if anything. If God is in your heart today, if he has your heart, he's going to have your substance too. We don't need to worry about that. But I wonder how much further ahead our country would be if we just honor God with what God has blessed us with. The Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. Children are a heritage of the Lord. God has made us promises regarding both. In Malachi chapter 3, he says, bring all the tithes in the storehouse, and he would pour out a blessing that we might not have room enough to receive it. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, he says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. God has made promises regarding our resources. But who can we blame if we go wrong in these areas? Responsibilities on our shoulders. Look at our text again. What is Ezra saying in verse 21? He's basically saying this. I am trusting everything I have to God. He laid it all down. God, I need to trust you with my life. So he's seeking a right way for us. I need to trust you with my children's future. And I need to trust you with everything else I have, all my substance. He believed that God would use what they gave to him to defeat the enemy. I don't know about you, but I think we need to turn to prayer for our country, for our leadership. We need to understand that we're living in a day and age that the devil is getting a stronghold. But I read somewhere in my Bible that even just the smallest angel can overthrow that devil. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. We have the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have a responsibility as Canadian Christians to stand up and take a stand for what is right and to pray for our nation. Are we trusting God with everything that we have? Years ago, there was a young lady that attended a church in Ottawa, Ontario. Her name is never given. The pastor preaches a message and she walked up to the altar at the end of the service and prayed and said to the pastor, I've decided this day to surrender everything to God. To surrender everything to God. The pastor who didn't normally do this made a note in his Bible and he said, on this day, and he wrote the date, this young lady, and he put her name, surrendered everything to God. A year passed and so she decided to challenge her on the anniversary of that commitment to the Lord. And at the end of the service, they shaking hands, he said to the young lady, do you remember the commitment you made 1 year ago? And she said this, I never knew there could be such joy. She never gave any details. She never talked about the bumps in the road over the year. No doubt the devil had challenged her. She just simply said, since I've surrendered, I had no idea there could be such great joy. Ezra and the people of Israel went on to win the battles. They rebuilt the temple. They rebuilt the city of God. And God blessed them. Why? Because they sought his face. Would you pray that our country would have that same attitude? That we would turn to the Lord God, that we would get back on our knees as a nation, that we would find what is missing. And it's the Lord God Almighty guiding our country. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning as we consider the example of Ezra as he gathered together this people for his nation. Let me ask you today, are we praying like we ought to for our leadership? Locally, we think of our mayor, Dennis Travail. We think of Toby Barrett, our member of provincial parliament. We think of Diane Finley, our member of parliament in the Canadian legislature. We have leadership right here in our own town that we need to pray for. Prime Minister Harper, born again believer, but still a man. Still must make important decisions every day. But he needs God's wisdom on. Would you pray? What about as we consider our future? If our children's lives are at stake, would that motivate you to pray? Would that motivate you to fast and seek God's face and take some time? Let the Word of God motivate you today and understand your children's lives are at stake. It is their future that is being prepared today. Let's stand to our feet this morning as we seek the Lord's face. I'm going to ask the instruments to play. We're just not going to sing or anything. We're just going to quietly seek God's face for our country today. Would you pray? This altar is open if you'd like to come here and pray. We'll pray for Canada. being here today. Pastor McDonald's going to come and close our service with a couple of announcements and prayer today. I trust we'll see you tonight. We're looking forward to a great night in the house of God. And because our schedule changed a little bit this week and Wednesday night has been filled up, I'm going to start our teaching time tonight. We were talking about doing some training stuff. And so tonight we're going to talk about soul winning, how to lead a soul to Jesus Christ. And I hope that you'll come. And let me encourage you. I'm going to give you lots of scripture that you can use and memorize. Bring a pen and write it down, because it's important that we know these verses and memorize them, that we can be a help. The Bible says we ought to be always ready to give an answer to any man. So they're looking for the hope that is within us. And so we want to give an answer.
You get your bulletins there, please. You'll see right on the back page, as Pastor just mentioned, he's going to be doing some training on soul winning. We have a church-wide soul winning every Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Come on out and join with us. Even if you've got already somebody planned and you say, I can just drive directly there, you say, no, you can't. But if you come out here, it kind of encourages us, and then we can all pray together before we go on out. And certainly we have seen some good results in the last few weeks, and we need to see more. We need to see more people converted, more people baptized, more people added to the church. And it's a great opportunity. You'll also see on our bulletin talks about the Missions Emphasis Week, and that's July 2nd, 6th. We got a couple things going on. It's going to be a great week. This is going to be a great summer, busy summer, but it's a good busy that we're involved with. Missions Week. And also I want to add to that, Missions Week is right after the evening service tonight. I just invite those who are interested in the missions trip that we're going to go on in February to meet with me in the Blue Room. I got a very short presentation, but a very important one. Even if you're just kind of curious about what we're going to be doing, we're going to St. Lucia, and we're going to be helping out a couple groups of missionaries there. One missionary group is going to be traveling with us down there. We're going to be meeting one down there, and there's three churches on the ground already ready to go. And so I invite you to come on out, and just even if you're not 100% sure you're going to go personally, we need your prayers, and it'll be a great time. So right after the service tonight in the Blue Room. Also, we have leftover personal effects from our academy, and they're out on the table right across from the pastor's office. If they belong to your child or you, please come and get them, because we are going to dispose of them as of tomorrow. So that's important. And also, if you have those Love Works t-shirts, if you would like to return those back to us, please have them laundered, have them washed, and bring them back. We can use them again next year. We're going to continue doing this. It was a good event. And so we ask that you do that. If you're like me, I'm built like a tree. That means I add a ring every year. So it might be wise to bring them back. You might need a bigger size next year. I'm not saying you're, that's me. All right, so something you might want to consider to do. So let's pray now and we'll dismiss. Father, we thank you again for the message that was preached. We have a great country, Lord. We thank you for it. Lord, we have such a godly heritage. And Father, as the pastor has said, a lot of that foundation is being chiseled away. And a lot of people are trying to deny and forget what has made this country so great. And what has made this country so great is you. And Father, help us to humble ourselves. We pray for Bethel Baptist Church. I pray for all Bible-believing churches across Canada that we would all humble ourselves to you, that you would guide and direct and use us to be the salt of the earth. Help us to be the salt right here to this country of Canada. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that you'd be able to move upon the hearts of those who are in leadership, that you would guide and direct them, even those who will refuse you as their Lord and Savior. Father, we know that your hand is upon the king. And Lord, we just pray, whoever is in that leadership role, that you would be able to guide and direct them. And Father, we thank you for it. Now give us safety on the roads, we pray, Lord, and return us safely here tonight. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. God bless you now as you go.